The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show on a Wednesday. We're here for the next 4 hours, and we hope you will stick around. We have a lot of more Georgia talk. Yesterday, Al Duncan got things really set upside down. A lot of news media coverage of what Al had to say, and we'll share some of that with you a little bit later on. Mike Griffith from Dog Nation in about 2 hours. We'll get his take on what she said and the continual question about the dogs. Is this the year? Bill Conley, a little bit later on, he did a fascinating QB ranking of the top quarterbacks in recent college football history. He'll be with us in a couple of hours. Alex Berenson, you may remember him from last summer. He was a loud and narrow voice about COVID, about returning to play. He will join us as we near the one-year anniversary of the global pandemic. He also has a new book out that takes place, a decent amount of it takes place in the South, and we will check in with him in about an hour. And Cecil Hurt dropping by shortly on the Crimson Tide as they continue to amaze, as the Arkansas Razorbacks. Man, the Arkansas Razorbacks went into Columbia last night and just put a major whooping on Frank Martin and the Gamecocks. But I want to go back to yesterday a little bit, and we really had all week long, I should say, we've had some, you know, very interesting comments about various subjects. And I want to start with Andy Staples, who was with us the other day. I think it was Monday. Andy Staples was here talking about the best job in the SEC. So that was earlier in the week. Yesterday, just to make this Georgia conundrum even more interesting.
Definitely enough to make you question whether they are your soulmate. And Kirby just keeps making these decisions that are just nonsensical to me. You know, like, he will forever sort of be brought up in the Justin Fields, you know, Jake Fromm over Justin Fields conversation. But then instead of sort of learning his lesson, he does it again. And I'm by no means comparing JT Daniels to Justin Fields, but, like, didn't we all know Stetson didn't have it? I just don't understand what information he's using to make these decisions. And it's maddening. I love that we're in the conversation, Paul, every year, but some of these decisions Kirby's making are just the luster, I think, for some Georgia fans is starting to wear off a little bit. Like, this sheen is not quite as pristine as it used to be when he was saving kittens from trees. I don't know.
Elle Duncan, and her comments have been the rage of Twitter the last 23 hours. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but we want to get your phone calls as well. A lot to chew on there, and I have a feeling that this is a conversation we will be talking about a great deal during spring. Let's get some phone calls in here before Cecil drops by at 855-242-7285. We have plenty of time today, and we start with Matthew, who is in Pittsburgh. Matthew, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Paul. I hope you're having a good day.
We are. Fantastic. So,
good. A few things I wanted to talk to you about. First comment was the Pat Smith interview last week was brilliant. I was hooked. I just didn't know the history of the show like that. And I realized you and Jerry Springer have a lot more in common than I ever would have thought.
Was
great.
Let me jump in here for 1 second, then I'll get out of your way. Pat Smith really created the Feinbaum radio show from a regional and national standpoint. And he is now the host of a program on WJOX, co-host of a program on WJOX in Birmingham. But we had him on one night, a Friday night, and I have had so many people mention it. We're going to get him back as soon as we get through the next 2 or 3 weeks of tournament play and really open it up a little bit broader. And this is not self-serving. I mean, it's always weird when you're talking about the history of your own program, but it's really the history of the SEC fandom more than anything. But thank you for saying that.
Yeah, definitely. And then the second thing was, I just wanted to play devil's advocate a little bit on the expansion of the playoff system. So every week we get more and more calls about, I got this idea, 16, 18, whatever it may be. And all the pundits say the same stuff. But I would argue that what we're really missing all of a sudden is the near six bowl games are irrelevant, right? And I just don't know if an expansion is any better than reverting back to a two-team championship. You know, like, it's what do we really want? We want a good championship, and we want a good New Year's Six bowl season. And right now, New Year's Six bowl season is irrelevant. Usually, the playoff games are pretty irrelevant, and it's just a national championship. So I just feel like...
Yeah, you know, I would say 75% of the semifinal games have been blowouts, at least, maybe more. And, you know, about half the championships have been blowouts. And what really brought the New Year's Six games to shame this year was the Cotton Bowl. And, you know, the lackadaisical attitude that Dan Mullen had toward it. And, you know, I always hate to go old school because people go, come on, man, let's live for today. But there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, that the New Year's Six games really did matter.
Yeah. But is the cat out of the bag? Well, that isn't a...
I don't think there's a solution. I know I would get tossed out of my house or any class I ever took, and by saying to the professor or my dad, hey, there's just no answer. I mean, I would have a shoe thrown at me. But the bottom line is there really isn't an answer, because the playoffs are going to expand, and all that will do, it's going to dilute the playoffs, and it's also going to dilute further the bowl games.
Yeah, that's sad. I just want the New Year's Six to be relevant again. I don't know, and I just feel like, reverting back to the two-team championship might be our best solution.
That is the
why keep expanding it.
Hey, thank you for the call, by the way. That's the only answer, and we're not going back. Hey, thanks for the call. We will continue all of this in just a minute. Cecil Hurt, our first guest here in a couple of minutes, always one of our favorite, maybe the longest-running guests we have had on this program, and he will join us right after this. With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere, choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here on a Wednesday afternoon. They did it again last night, sweeping Auburn. Alabama basketball is on fire, getting ready for one more game and then the tournament. And Cecil Hurd has always dutifully covered the Crimson Tide, even when the basketball program was absolutely exasperating. Cecil, we've had a lot of football conversations over the years, but not many basketball, at least in, that were good. Usually about somebody leaving, but it's great to have you on. And how are you?
I'm doing well. Back on basketball today. I'm going to cover some high school basketball in Birmingham. State tournament is going on. Alabama's signee J.D. Davidson. So headed in that direction, and your friends at the Bright Star say hello, Paul.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because you were kind enough to let me know some time ago that about our friend Jimmy Koikas taking a bad turn. And I have friends in Birmingham and Alabama, and I include you in that, but I think I may miss the Bright Star more than all my friends.
I take absolutely no offense to that, Paul. That's the correct attitude to have.
And I have to ask you, Cecil, because I keep up with you very closely, and I know you've always been an interesting Twitter follow, but you seem to be expanding your meat and potato beat to restaurants of the SEC or dives of the SEC. Tell us about that.
Yeah, just trying to, certainly not trying to move in on Marty and McGee or anything else. But I've always, felt like that once you get out of Tuscaloosa or out of Birmingham, try something that you can't have in Alabama. So, love the trips to Baton Rouge. Was in Arkansas last week and enjoyed being able to stop off at a couple of spots there. So, there's a unique culture down here, and people should embrace it. And you realize over the past year how fragile some of these places can be, and you miss them when they're gone. It's like, I wish I'd stopped there, so I always try and do that.
Well, I, what a big eater I am, but I'm getting pretty hungry reading about some of these spots. But anyway, let's get to the main dish here, which is Alabama basketball. And see, so I want to go back to the day that Nate Oates came in, and I bring that up because the program was not a disaster. It was in fair shape, and it was not an easy call to make to change, but pick up that hire and why you think things have changed and turned so far to the good.
Well, Avery was not a disaster. Had him in the tournament with Colin Sexton, which seems like a long time ago, but that was really Herb Jones and John Petty. That was their freshman year. But I think it was just a situation where sometimes the fit's just not perfect on either side. I think Avery probably more oriented to NBA, but did a good job, left a good roster here. Obviously, guys I just named had signed Jaden Shackelford. So, it was not like Avery left things in a shambles, and he deserves credit for that. But I think that Nate Oates was different, had a different approach, has a different approach really from a lot of the teams in the SEC and the way that they've played. So it's been a change. They had an adjustment last year and really more learning how to play defensively than offensively, and that's been the big difference this year is how well they've played defensively. And they've been top five in the nation, which I don't think anybody anticipated that. And, had a great stretch in January and then got in February where Alabama had struggled for 20 years bringing it home, so to speak, and hadn't been as, with the one exception, the game against Georgia, hadn't been as explosive offensively, but had just managed to grind these games out, to grind out some wins on the road, to defend, to be better. They didn't rebound well last night, but to protect the ball and to kind of understand how to win, and so that's what's enabled them to have the championship clinched, have a game Saturday that I don't know what the stakes exactly are. Obviously, they're playing for
high NCAA seed, two or three. Certainly strongly on the two line right now. So you want to win that game and sort of secure that. But it's been different. I would say Arkansas may be playing the best in the SEC right now. But Alabama's managed to keep winning. They built the big lead. They've continued to find ways to win. And so they cut down the net last night.
Cecil, I've had a lot of Arkansas fans ask me this question and a few Alabama fans in terms of seeding. And is there, Arkansas may be a little better shape because they're on that winning streak, but is there any path other than carnage above them to get a one seed?
It would take one of the Big Ten teams. You know, Michigan got blown out by Illinois, and Michigan had looked strong the game before. So the Big Ten teams are kind of beating each other up, but their net rankings and KenPom and all their metrics are so good that they're not knocking each other out of that one spot. If Michigan got blown out again this weekend, got blown out in the first game of the tournament, there might be a chance. There might be a chance for Alabama to get up to a one. And there might be a chance for Arkansas if they run the table through the SEC tournament to get up to a two, possibly. I don't think the non-conference is helping Arkansas tremendously, but they're certainly playing well right now. So, again, I think if Alabama wins at Georgia and wins its first game in the tournament, I think you can absolutely ink them in on the two line, and then it's going to depend a little bit. Gonzaga's not going anywhere. You can rest assured of that. But, it will depend a little bit on – and a huge win for Baylor last night. But Michigan, Illinois, it's possible Alabama could get up for that fourth one seed.
Chatting here with Cecil Hurt. Cecil, there's plenty of time to get ready for the tournament, but you've heard some of the pundits wonder a little bit about Alabama and the kind of team this is, and is it built for the NCAA tournament? I mean, that's a cliche we hear every March. But having covered countless NCAA tournaments and seen what works and what doesn't, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll say this. Nate Oates has been there before with Buffalo. He's surprised teams. Obviously, Alabama, just name on the jersey, attracts more attention than Buffalo did. But teams that haven't seen them, I think part of the grind that they've been going through in February has been they're playing against teams that they've played before, that they've seen one time and that have scouted them pretty thoroughly. I think that was true with Arkansas. I think it was true with Mississippi State. I think it was true with Auburn last night. And Auburn, to be fair, they're a different team without Sharif Cooper. Let's not overlook that. I hate that fans didn't get to see, as many fans didn't get to see last night's game as could have seen. I wish the fans that didn't get to see the first game could have seen the first game at Auburn, which was the best game I've seen really this year, the 94-90 game. It was really up and down, really fast paced. But Auburn's a different team. But they've scouted Alabama. They know what Alabama's tendencies are. They know how to defend. You get in an NCAA tournament setting and get by that first round, which is why a high seed is important, and then you're playing a team that's got 2 days to prepare, that hadn't seen you, that hadn't prepared for you, and I think that's an advantage that Alabama will have when they get in there, even against a 7-10 winner if they're a 2 seed, and even beyond that against the 3 seed.
Cecil, before you go, I would be remiss if I didn't at least throw a question to you about spring practice and
yes, they do still play football here.
I just wondered. I know it's been an amazing winter, but I assume Coach Saban's still around. I still assume they're going to try. I mean, I know Georgia's already wrapped up the championship, but will Alabama fill the team this year?
That's what I hear every time you have Mike Griffith on there. I drive over to the Alabama complex to see if they're selling off the furniture and shutting things down. But I like Mike. Mike is a great guy. But they'll play. They'll compete. They'll see what they can do. Got to get a quarterback. That's the first thing. You know, Bryce Young will be the presumptive front runner and played in some backup roles last year, but he'll have to step in, be a starter, and do it without Devontae, without Waddle, without Najee. And so it's going to be – that part of the spring will be very interesting. They should be better defensively, but that part will be interesting too, because even with one of the great seasons in college history last year, there's still people grumble about the defense a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see. Nick's got new offensive staff, essentially. One new coordinator, not two, but replacing Steve Sarkisian with Bill O'Brien. That'll be interesting to watch. So plenty of storyline as they get started.
Well, good. I was curious. I was embarrassed to call up the athletic department and ask the football office if they were still having a team, but I thought it would be safer to ask you.
They are, and hopefully it'll be a more normal season. I know Greg Byrne mentioned that they're planning for 100%. Now, planning is a long way from achieving, and it's going to depend on a lot of factors, but hopefully in some ways a more normal season, and I promise you, when September gets here, the expectations will be the same in Tuscaloosa.
Indeed. We will be in touch, obviously, as we get ready for next week and the week after. Cecil, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, Paul. Hope to talk to you at the tournament.
Look forward to it. Cecil Hurt joining us from the Tuscaloosa News, where he's been just a few years. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Mike Griffith, the aforementioned, will join us in about 90 minutes. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A couple of guests dropping by shortly. And right now, let's check in with Joe, who is in Georgia. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you.
Well, good. I want you to know that I'm 83 years old, and I had major back surgery 3 months ago, so I spent a lot of afternoons in a recliner watching your show, and I want to commend you on how you handle the public and their calls, some of which are very hard to handle, I'm sure, but I think you do a tremendous job in dealing with the public 3 hours a day for 5 days a week.
Well, thank you. How's your back surgery coming?
Well, it's doing fine. I'm progressing well. I'm actually 83 year old today. It's my birthday, so, but I'm
wonderful.
Getting there. And the pain that I was having before the surgery has been alleviated, and so I'm progressing. But what I was calling about was there's been some good discussions in the last few days about announcers, sports announcers from many years ago. And I grew up in Middle Tennessee, and I started listening to Tennessee University's broadcast in the late 40s, and George Mooney was the broadcaster. I guess he was probably the second broadcaster behind Lindsey Nelson, who started the Vol Network. I'm just guessing that. I don't know.
I think you're
sure.
Right about that. I think you are correct.
Well, General Nayland was still coaching at that time. As a matter of fact, I read something on General Nayland the other day. He had over exactly one half of his career football games at Tennessee, his team had a shutout. and that just amazed me, that one half of his total football games, the other team didn't score.
I was calling about George Mooney
in the 40s. As a matter of fact, I wound up interning at UT Hospital in the early 60s, and George Mooney came in early one morning. He'd been fishing, and a bug had flown in his ear, and that's very painful. And we spent a few moments and got that out and so forth. He was a very nice man. Also, growing up in Middle Tennessee, used to listen to Larry Munson. And Larry Munson at that time was the Vanderbilt announcer, and also announced the Nashville Vol AA baseball with
right.
Memphis Chicks and so forth. But in those early, the other thing I remember about the announcers in those early days is in the early, I guess, early 50s when we finally got TV, the World Series was always televised by the announcer whose team won the World Series. So Mel Allen was on darn near every year as the announcer of the Yankees, and always just enjoyed listening to him. By the way, I think he actually formed the Alabama Sports
Network. I believe, Mel grew up in Bessemer, right outside of Birmingham and not far from Tuscaloosa.
Right, yes. And those guys were just giants. And Mel Allen was absolutely, he was I really enjoyed listening to him. Those guys were just great announcers. But I heard you talking to Memphis the other day about growing up listening to the Cardinal broadcast, and I became a Cardinal fan in 1946. And because in those days, as you know, KMOX was the only, St. Louis was the only national Major League Baseball team, and KMOX was strong enough for the signal we could get it in Middle Tennessee, especially at night. So Harry Carey, Jack Buck, and those guys, listened to them for many, many, many years. Happened to be listening on the Sunday afternoon that Stan Musial hit 5 home runs.
Oh, wow.
In a doubleheader, and that's never been done before or since. Of course, I don't play doubleheaders much anymore. But anyway, those announcers that people were talking about yesterday, the day before on your show, just brought back a lot of memories of all of these. Also, before TV in the late 40s, I can remember the only baseball information that we'd get would be a man named Gordon McClendon, I think, on the Mutual Sports Radio Network, I think's what it was. And they would announce about 2 games a week, usually on the weekends, I guess. I don't know whether that name rings a bell to you or not. That's way back there, Nate.
Yeah, no, I don't say this too often anymore. That was before my time.
No, well, I'm older than dirt, and I can remember things like that. But they used to call him the old Scotchman, Gordon McClendon, and he and I don't remember who else was with him. Later on, I Monday Night Football, I enjoyed Don Meredith and all that.
Oh, he was funny. You're right.
Just great memories. Well, I'll let you go again. I wanted to commend you on how you do your show, being the courteous person that you are, and you're to be commended for that.
Well, thank you very much, Doc, and you take care of yourself, and continued good luck with the recovery.
Well, thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You bet. Wonderful to hear from you. And Matt is up next in San Antonio. Hello, Matt.
How you doing today, my friend, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
What is going on, Matt?
Well, I want to talk about the Texas A&M Aggies in the playoff system. But I want to tell you some good news. I'm going to see a back doctor tomorrow to take care of my back.
Well, that is fantastic.
Well, Paul, I kind of agree the playoffs should be expanded. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Playoffs should be expanded to, like, 8-game playoff system, because there's a lot of teams that don't get in. It seems fair they don't get in, but the rule of the law of college football, you have to prove it to get in the playoffs. But it doesn't seem fair to the other teams to go undefeated or are in the other Power 5 conferences and they don't get in.
Yeah, no, it is going to happen, Matt. You've heard this conversation ad nauseum on this program. It won't happen for a couple of years, and
no,
at least
we'll agree with you.
Yeah, we just have to have it. It has to change from how it is.
And Paul, I got a feeling my Aggies in football are going to do really good this year. We're going to go 11-1, Paul. I don't usually make predictions all the time about we're going to beat Alabama, but this year we're all going to beat them, Paul, because they return less amount of players than we do. We return a lot of people on defense. They don't return a lot of people on offense either, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I do think that would be a very interesting game, but Matt, you take care of yourself. Thank you for the call, and Judge is up next in Raleigh. Hey, Judge.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. It's always good to hear you and talk to you. And
thank you.
Like the previous gentleman said, your listening skills and respect for people really, I think, really help out a lot.
Thank you.
Encourage a lot of people. And we all need to be more like you. So the question that I had, I've looked over several of the schedules, SEC, Big Ten, you know, Big 12, Pac, so forth. You've got Alabama, I talk about football, got Alabama, Miami, you got Ohio State, Oregon, you got Notre Dame, Southern Cal, you got I think Nebraska and Oklahoma, and a few others. What do you think, we're down a little and people just not challenging each other as much? It just doesn't seem like as many great out of conference games, and I'll be quiet and just listen.
Yeah, I would agree. I think sometimes this is cyclical. Remember 3 or 4 years ago we had that epic first weekend that, and even the second weekend, but I the best game of the year Georgia. And after that, there's not that many great games.
Yeah,
and, you know, the second weekend, you have a couple more. I mean, I think Auburn goes to Penn State. You have a couple of games like that. But
right.
I think some schools have just been reluctant. I know there's a lot of long-term scheduling. A lot of it depends on just, you know, who's good right now. I mean, last year we lost the Ohio State Oregon game. I thought that would have been amazing.
Yeah, that would have been a good one last year. All right. Well, good talking to you.
Hey,
good
thank
to
you.
Jeff back on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. I need to have, next time he's down here, I just lock him up for good, okay? Hey, thanks for the call. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And Chad is up next. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? First time.
Very well. Thank you.
How you doing? Love the show.
Appreciate that.
I was just wondering, from being a huge Georgia football fan since 85, and all the heartache we've had and just constant disappointment, when – I hear Georgia fans calling for Kirby, not me particular, but to be fired. When do you think is going to be enough if we don't win this year? Or how many more years does Kirby have without winning the chip to be our coach?
I don't think it's even an issue. I think this is a false narrative being created in very dark crevices of the world. Kirby Smart is about as safe as somebody can be. I don't think anyone has set the standard to win the national championship at Georgia. And I'm not lowering expectations. That's the expectation. But you know, he's running one of the better programs in America. Why would you get rid of him?
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. I just hear a bunch of Georgia fans, you know, saying, well, if you don't win this year, it's another Mark Richt.
They don't make those decisions, though.
Completely.
I frankly don't think it's that many. I do think there are some out there, and, you know, we had a guest yesterday that But she's a fan, even though she works at ESPN. She's not making the decision, and I don't think anyone in charge at Georgia finds this conversation remotely interesting. It's just absurd.
Completely agree. Well, I appreciate it, Paul. And,
hey, thank you.
Love the
appreciate
show
it.
And keep it up, bud.
Great to have you
all
on.
Right.
It's a topic of conversation. I don't mean to say, act like we're not talking about it, but it's not realistic. Zach is up next in Ohio. Hey, Zach.
What's up, Paul? How you doing, buddy?
Hey there.
Before I ask you my question, I want to say I was talking to my mom earlier, and I was like, you know, I think why I watch all 4 hours of this show is because people just you can ask Paul a random question, and he'll somehow get an answer for you.
Well, that's really nice. I mean, what's interesting, and I say this to you as someone who has talked to me about the industry, I am not an expert. I am a conversationalist. So if you ask me to, you know, break down why a team did a certain thing, I have an opinion, just like you do, but we have experts who do that. My job is just to make sure the conversation continues.
Right. Well, my question today is, I know this is the SEC Network, but Michigan State's been going on a run lately in college basketball. Do you think in the tournament that they could possibly go on a run in March Madness?
Well, they could. You know, they're coming to this very late in terms of seeding, and so they're going to really be in a tough spot, I think. I can't remember what the last projection, but it certainly wasn't great. And if you're going to get far in the NCAA tournament, you're going to have to beat really good teams. And I'm trying to avoid stating the obvious here, but you know, so much depends on how they get seeded, and you know, do they have to face a team that they just can't beat? And there are two or three teams in this tournament right now that, I mean, as good as they are, and they're playing, you know, a fantastic schedule. But you know, you better not. You don't want to see Gonzaga too quickly, do you?
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, it was nice talking to you, Paul. And I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to see where they are projected right now, Michigan State, and that, you know, the same answer that I gave to Zach, I could almost give to anyone. About the NCAA tournament, because there are so many variables. I was just looking at the latest projections, and you know, I mean, Gonzaga clearly is the number one team in the tournament. Missouri right now is listed as an 8. Tennessee is a 6. Tennessee is, you know, really needs to close well, or they are going to be in dire straits. LSU's on the 9 line. Now you don't want to be on the 8-9 line, because that means you play the number one team, the number one seed, on the second round, which is pretty tough. Alabama is at the 2 line. So if you the 2 plays the 15, and then the winner of the 7-10. Florida's at 7. Anyway, we're up against a break. Much more to come right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.